Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, from bottom. We bless you, Father. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father, Heavenly Father, for eternal life that's in your Son, the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, the redemptive Lamb of God. He that the law and the prophets prophesied about, Jesus the Christ, the rock called Flynn, is Jesus Christ. Father, we worship you. Your word says there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, Son of the living God, for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness, Father, that our sins have been washed and taken away and we live holy before you, Lord. You take us into your kingdom, Father, as we are. And you change us and you mold us and you mend us by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God, for the word that we live by and we strive to abide by it, Father, to walk in love towards the beloved, to walk in love towards our neighbor, to walk in love and to show the world, Lord Jesus, who we are in you by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Jesus, we thank you. We worship you. We love you, Lord. You be seated real quietly. Worship team, that's Harry, stay with me, please, a little bit. I'm not going to exhort too long. Hallelujah. Allow me for a little bit just to exhort, and then we're going to shake hands, and Harry's got a few announcements, and we're going to get on with the word. I lost a good friend about 2 weeks ago. I lost many friends from the class of 85. But the last one that I lost, I think even some of you might know him, Pete Garza. I think 49 or 50 years old, died of cancer. That one really hurt me. The reason it hurt so much was because I never got a chance to share Jesus Christ with him. So I looked for him. I heard he was sick, and I looked for him, and I got his number, and I called him, and I said, I got to tell him about Jesus. 3 times, I even felt something inside of me say, go to Lehi to his house, but I ignored that voice. A few days later, my wife said, you know, Petey just died. It left me numb inside of me. And I say all that to say this. It left me numb inside. Because we used to run the streets together in Immokalee. But I never got a chance to tell him about eternal life through Jesus Christ. Never. And I tried. I tried to find him, but I didn't try hard enough to find him. But I said to myself a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I will no longer shut my mouth. I will tell all my old homeboys about Jesus Christ. I will tell them all, even if they think I'm sick, that I love them. I'm going to call them all Lord. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to tell my old boys I used to run the street with, I love you. Come and we preach this Sunday morning. Come hear the gospel of the kingdom. And lo and behold, he doesn't even know that I preached about him 2 or 3 years ago. Keith and Handy, I preached about him from this pulpit. I preached about him. Number 32. Y'all didn't know him. I would go visit him on the weekends. He was on vacation, for an extended vacation. And I would go visit him about number 32. I didn't even say his name. Well, that number 32 is here today with us. He drove down from Fort Pierce. I called him yesterday. I said, hey, man, I'm preaching this Sunday. Come hear me. Love you, man. So I tried to get there. Called me this morning. He said, I'm on 27. I said, well, come on, man. One memory I have of him that changed my life, I don't know if he remembers or not. We have so many memories. Oh, my God. Not good ones. So Tracy, his friend, is with him. I've never met her, but me and Kibo, or a.k.a. Chuck, we got a history, a past. But one thing that I'll never forget to the day I die, I don't know if he remembers or not. I got in an altercation with two brothers. Fist fight. Years in the early 20s. I had some of my friends there with me. They did nothing. And it was two against one. They did nothing. One of them said, I'll take care of Homer. Went to his truck, got his gun. Nope. Homer don't play guns. Homer left quick. And I don't remember if Kevin knows. I said, two against one. Then when I got a gun, I hit it. Went uptown to Immokalee through Main Street. Hung a left on First Street. Drove down Delaware to the handy right across the projects. I knew where number 32 would be. I knew he'd be there. And we were real close growing up. Real close. We were like brothers back in the days. I went to the handy. He was out there in the corner of the handy. Don't ask me what he was doing. Was in the corner of the handy. I said, Kevin, man. Just got jumped, man, with two dudes, man. Gonna pull a gun on me. He said to me that day, he looked at me, he said, let's go. Can't go, Kevin. They got a gun, we don't. He said, let's go. Without guns. He got with me in the automobile. We went back to that place where I got an altercation. Those guys weren't there anymore. But you tell one of your friends that you got jumped and they have a gun, and your friend says, let's go without a gun? That means something to me, man. Let's go. Keep, we ain't got no gun. Let's go. And we went. I don't know what would have happened that day. I know they had a gun. But that day, my boy, Kevin Handy, they got a gun, Chuck. Let's go. And that moment has stuck with me since my early 20s. And one of my boys, one of my old homeboys, said to me, let's go, when the other team had a gun. Well, I don't run the streets no more. I don't smoke crack anymore. I don't throw coke anymore. I'm not addicted to pornography anymore. I serve Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that day. Number 32 said to me, let's go. He's here today. And when we shake hands in a little bit, please, I want you to make him and his friend Tracy feel at home. Because it's a miracle that me and him escaped our childhood lifestyle. It's by the grace of God that we made it. It's by the grace of God. And he made my day this morning. I heard my phone ringing. I asked my wife, who is it? She said, it's Kevin. No, she said, Kevin. I said, no, baby, his name is Kevin. Name ain't Kevin, it's Kevin. I said, wow, he must be coming to church. And my friend, Kevin, is here today. I said to God the other day in prayer, I said, I will not shut my mouth anymore. People are dying without Christ. Without knowing the Father through His Word. His Word is Christ Jesus in the flesh, the incarnate Word of God. It's the Son. I said, I won't. And I told a couple of them, I said, man, I love you guys, man. I said, I'll do anything for you back in the days, man. And they were numb when I told them I loved them. They weren't used to me telling them I love them. I said, I love you, man. We can't live without Christ. And I'm not going to stop till I see them all and tell them about Jesus Christ, about the love that God the Father has for us. I could be here all day long testifying to you about our past. We'll be here till 5 o'clock. But he's here. And it's like somebody gave me $1 million. I got to throw this in here. I don't know if Tracy knows, but he's have a dog named Midnight. And that dog had no teeth. I had to throw that in there. No teeth on Breezewood Street. All of you, man, we love you and we're glad you're here. The love of Christ has no boundaries. Don't care who you are, what you've done. What you did last night, the blood of Christ, the sacrificial lamb, was shed for you. He took me the way I was. He'll take you as you are and fill you with His Spirit, and you'll be a different person. Another boy that I invited to church real quick, and then we're going to, Harry's got some announcements before we go on, after we go on break. I called one of them and said, hey man, I talked to you in a while. Love you, man. Numb, quiet. And we talked about the time that I played Russian roulette when I was strung out on junk. He was there. He was there with me. So he knows God's for real. To change an idiot like me, he knows God's for real. I said, hey, man. I said, back in the day, man, we were brothers. I would have died for you back then. Did the same thing here, brother. I love you. Don't know they're here or not, but I sowed a seed. That's all we can do is sow seeds. I will not be a silent Christian. I don't spend my day in prayer in my room, hearing my Bible and worshiping God Almighty to be a silent Christian. were to be faithful witnesses of Almighty God. You might say, well, homie, you can't do this or that in the spirit. No, but I can talk. I can live a holy life and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I can do that. Again, you could hear a pin drop in this church. Again. Hallelujah. Well, saying all that, I say this. Before we go on break, and I'm going to ask you, please. He's right back there. He's in the middle, I think. He's the big, bulky guy with no hair. You can call him Kevin if you'd like. Nah, my old friend, Kevin Handy, a.k.a. Chuck, a.k.a. Kibo, is in the house today from Fort Pierce. So, Marty, give us something to celebrate, or friends, please make my friend and his friend Tracy feel at home, and let's shake each other's hand. We'll go on break, and Harry has a few announcements for us, and then we're going to get started with the declaration of the word. Amen. We're going to have a good time. God bless you. Go ahead, Marty. Hallelujah. Rise, please. Embrace somebody. Tell them how beautiful they look today.
Hallelujah. Just going to give a few announcements and do a very, very small offering exhortation. Maybe offering exhortation, then announcements. I don't know which order I'll do it in, but I don't want to use notes because I use notes way too tightly Wednesday night. So I'm just going to try to use bullet points, you know. So here at this church, giving, we teach it very simple. Basically, 2 Corinthians 9:7 is what we use, which is every man according as he purposes in his own heart. Give cheerfully and joyfully, not grudgingly. So when you give, don't think too hard about it. Just purpose in your heart, you know, what feels right, and give it. And if you don't hear anything specific from the Holy Spirit, that's okay. You can just purpose in your own heart. We have multiple ways to give. You can give cash and check and put it in an envelope that are behind the chairs. And you can, here in a minute, bring it up and put it in these baskets. Or in the back, we have a giving box. You can put it inside the box, or you can scan the QR code on there and give with Vanco. And there's also the PayPal information on the box as well. So we have multiple ways that you can give. We do not teach, you know, the more you give, the more you get. There's actually a trap door right here. If someone up here preaches that, they fall through and we don't know where they end up. But that's one of the things that'll open up the trap door if someone in this church teaches something like that. So the more you give, you don't get more. You're not cursed if you don't give. That is Old Testament garbage. We don't teach that here. So just give out of your heart, whatever you want. And of course, we don't want your money. We don't want members of this church to get your money. We don't need your money. Just give out of your heart. This is a good ministry. Good things are taught here. So it is a good thing to give your money to. And the people that are in charge of the money, they spend it very well. They give to other ministries. It's not splurged on toys and, you know, stuff. It's spent very well and very wisely, so you can trust the people that use the money that you give here. What else? When we bring the offering up here in a minute, the kids can be dismissed if they haven't. It looks like they have. But if he would like to go next door, he can when we stand here in a minute and give the money. Discipleship training. I put a pamphlet flyer thing on the back table. You can scan that QR code as well for discipleship training. That's just the 10 lessons that Pastor did, the very basic beginner's level of what we teach here, plus what happened to you when you got born again. If you just got born again, I highly recommend you scan it and go through it. They're short videos. There's PDFs in the descriptions of those videos if you want to just print out the PDF and read it. You don't have to watch the video, but I highly recommend it. Even if, let's say you have been born again a long time, but you're new to this church, I would also recommend them. The five keys that I talked about Wednesday night, if you don't really know what I was talking about, or the four pillars that Pastor and Homer have talked about, those lessons will teach you what those are, how to use them, and how they grow you in God. Prayer tonight at 6 p.m. And other than that, I think that's it. So you can all stand. Dad can give us one more song. And this is the time when you can bring the offering forward or not, and we'll just worship to this last song. And then Homer will come up.
You only know. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time today. I promise you. Before I get started, Harry or Robert here, one of you? And when I start teaching, you can start the instrumental. Just real quick, the Lord laid on my heart before I get into to the word. There's a homeless guy that goes to dialysis with me 3 times a week, and he is homeless. He sleeps behind on a tree at a restaurant in town. I'm not going to tell you where. He definitely is homeless. The Lord has laid on my heart, you know, within the budget that me and my wife have, to help him the best that we can. And I'm going to ask you, as a church, as our church, to help me help him. You and my wife, you can do anything, $20, $30. We buy him his shoes, regular off because of the mosquitoes that get to him. We give him 20, 30 bucks every now and then. You know, 20 bucks buys 4 tacos nowadays. A can of off, he says, costs 12. Nothing's going to me and my wife. Nothing is. Nothing. Nothing. It's all going to this man. His name is Humberto. He's elderly man, goes to dialysis Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And he lives behind a certain restaurant here in town. And he's been robbed a couple times. They've took all his stuff, shoes, shirts. Yeah, a homeless guy got robbed in the mock. That's pretty bad, isn't it? So God's laid him in my heart. And then when God touches your heart, you and my wife, we seen him yesterday. We bought him 3 tacos and gave him 20 bucks. And he was so, and he goes to church. He's a Christian. And I love him dearly. And whatever me and my wife can do, we do for him. And it's a blessing. We bought him 3 tacos yesterday, and he called me and said, oh, they were good. And he said, they were hot too. And please, we're not looking for big donations for him. I'm not looking for just 20, 30 bucks here. They're just for food, for shirts. We take him some bottled water. We take him some apples sometimes, some tangerines, some protein bars, some shirts. You don't think you got much sometimes. He meets somebody like him. And he never complains. He never complains. So God's laid on my heart supply for him, but I know what me and my wife do right now for him. It's minimal, but we do what we can. So help me and my wife sow into this man's life. Toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, stuff like that. Don't get with me about it. Just get with my wife. Whatever, 10 bucks, 15 bucks, we'll give it to him gradually. A little bit per day is what we give him. That's where my heart's at right now. And my heart is seeing people give their life to Jesus Christ. So whatever you can do, just get with my wife. You know, the Bible uses the word beloved. You know, God loves everyone, regardless of who you are, what your preference is, how you live, your sexual orientation. God loves, man. He loves people. He loves. He can't love one, whether a person's a Christian or a non-Christian. He loves both the same. God's not capable of not loving a non-Christian. He's not capable. He loves of. I heard Pastor Dave Robertson say one time, he used Hitler as one person that God loved. Who knows if Hitler made it to the kingdom, and maybe at his last moment he repented and said, God, forgive me of my sin. He would have made it. Though he killed so many, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of God. There was a man in Luke 18. Beat his chest. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Luke 18 says he couldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his chest in frustration. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible says he went to his house justified. So we're all saved through mercy and grace. So it's a shame we don't extend that same mercy to people. If we want our prayers answered in this lifetime, we must learn to be merciful to people according to the gospel of the kingdom. That is the heart of God. The mercy and grace of God will be extended to people. The word beloved means, in the Greek, it means dearly loved. This is incredible. The word beloved, let us love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 is the text. As much as God loves us, you have to believe his word to have eternal life. What's his word? Jesus is the word, the incarnate word of God. Bible says in Hebrews that he is the expressed image of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. Jesus is the incarnate word of God in human flesh. He is the word of God. He is the salvation that comes to us from Almighty God, Almighty Jehovah. He is the word of God sent from Almighty God to redeem his people. So I'm saved by mercy. Nothing that I did got me saved. It's faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that saved me. His mercy redeemed me. It's by his mercy that I live toward you. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do. I'm to extend God's mercy to you, man. That is the love of God. It says, beloved, those of you that believe that Jesus is the Christ, those of you that are sanctified, that believe the word of God, it says, beloved, Let us, Christians, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In my quiet times with Almighty God, something is happening to me inside. I can't explain it. I'm saying things that I never thought I would ever say. I started praying like this a while back. I said, Lord, I know that in Christ there's a love in me that can never be hurt, Lord. That's the way it should be. Christians, we do not have boiling points. They made my blood boil. No. No one can make your blood boil. Christ has redeemed you through his blood and made you whole and sanctified you through his blood. And you are a son or daughter of God based on what Christ Jesus did on the cross. Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they all testified of the Christ. And through Christ, we have eternal life, the perpetual life of God inside of us. Took me instantly at 5 o'clock in the morning off crack, off cocaine, off pornography, from one prayer to another. Lord, forgive me of my sin. The life of God came and indwelt me, and I fell in love with my wife all over again. That is what Jesus Christ can do for an individual if you let him. And after I gave my life to Christ, this was my instruction from heaven. Beloved, let us, who are saved by grace through faith in Christ. I love the world, God says, but you who accept my word, you are the beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. To love one another means one thing, means to keep the commandments of God. No matter what we go through in life, we never have an entitlement to not keep his word. They talked about you, so what? They gossip about you, so what? They hung Jesus on a cross and he forgave. His spirit is inside of us. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. That spirit is inside of us. So inside of us, we cry out, oh Lord, stir me up, Father, to spread your gospel of the kingdom. Will you lay down your life, Homer, for the gospel's sake? And I say to myself, and I cry on my recliner. I start crying. I said, I love my wife and my family so much. I got two beautiful daughter-in-laws that I've never seen before. I love my family. And I say in my prayer closet to myself, I said, Lord, your grace, Lord, to be as they that love not their life till the death. May my will be eradicated in your presence, Lord. To lay down my life if I have to for your sake. I said, Lord, in Christ Jesus, there is a love in me, Lord, that cannot be hurt. Lord, Father, that I would abide in that love and be as they that love not their life till the death. I say that. I say, why am I saying that? I spend my mornings in prayer. And he's changing me inside. I told my homeboy, I said, man, I love all of you, man. You can't live without Christ in your life, man. I love you. You can't do it. I called them all. Come, man. So quiet again in here. He said, beloved, John said, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. To love one another means one thing. Means to keep the word of God. Means to keep the word of God. If you can't keep the word of God, we're not loving one another. So they said this about you, Homer. Love him, Homer. Jesus is our prototype. What he did, we do. In humanity. The next part of 1 John 4 in that text, he said, in this the love of God, listen to what he said carefully. In this the love of God was manifested. In this the love of God was manifested, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice what he said, the love of God was manifested. It wasn't articulated. It wasn't presented. It was manifested. Seen, revealed, seen in the 33-year-old Jewish man named Jesus Christ as he was scourged on the scourging post. And he hung on the cross. He manifested the love of God for all of us. Black, white, brown, transgender, homosexual, Democrat, Republican, Christ died for me and for you to forgive you all your sin. The love of God was manifested. It was revealed and seen by all. Isaiah says that Christ was marred more than any man, more than the sons of man. You couldn't tell what he looked like. He was so disfigured and beat for who? For me and for you. To redeem us from all iniquity. He said, in this the love of God was manifested. It was seen. The love of God was seen through who? The love of God was seen through a man named Jesus Christ in humanity. We often say, God loves you. God loves you. Well, let me tell you something. If you want your God loves you to your friend to carry any weight, you better be loving God. Because as we love God, that's when his love is manifested in our life. He said, in this, the love of God was manifested, that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ had to make daily decisions to lay down his life as a sacrificial lamb for mankind. He said, in this, the love of God was manifested, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, or this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. Christ, in perfection, came, born of a virgin, had to make a conscious decision. Father, I will finish what you called me to do. I will manifest. I will reveal your love, Father. I will show, number 32, your love. I will show Rosie, Rex, Marsha, I will show them your love. I will show Tracy your love. Christ had one agenda for 33 years. That's to manifest the love of God. When he was scourged on that scourging post, beat beyond recognition, he was manifesting, showing you, as he yelled and screamed in torture, he was manifesting the love of God. As he hung on Calvary, he was manifesting the love of God. God in the flesh, yielding himself to redeem mankind. He said, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen to what he said. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Christ manifested the love of God as he laid down his life. And Isaiah 53 says that he was slaughtered as a lamb led to the slaughter. He was slaughtered. Slaughtered, butchered, is what the Hebrew says. And never uttered a word as the sacrificial lamb. Born of a virgin, lived to be 33 years old. Every day of his life, he manifested the love of God. You didn't catch him on a bad day. The Bible says that sinners and publicans went to him for to hear him. Sinners went to Christ for to hear him. Sinners went to Christ, John 15, for to hear him. See, we think certain people are disgusting. Christ, the disgusting people that we think are disgusting, went to him to hear him. There was something in him that they wanted to hear. That was love and mercy that poured out of the Lamb of God. What they saw in Christ is what everybody should see in us. Everybody should see that in us. Christ was born of God to manifest the love of God as the Savior of the world. He had no other agenda but to manifest God. He said, and this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then somebody said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How can I love you the way God loved us? How? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That is a remarkable statement. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God's love is only manifested and revealed and seen as we keep his commandments. Grace is not an excuse to sin, but grace empowers you not to sin. He said, family prayer center, if God so loved you, you also, family prayer center, you also ought to love one another. I love you by doing one thing, by obeying my conscience, by obeying the word of God. When I obey the word of God, no matter what I face, no matter if I face death, no matter if I face the martyrdom, I'm called to obey the word of God. When I obey the word of God under immense pressure, with a gun to my head, being martyred because I'm hated for my faith, when I keep the word of God, I let my God shine inside of me. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When I read that word or hear the word, no matter what I face, to predetermine within myself, God, I'm going to keep your word. No matter what they say, what they do to me, Lord, the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to keep your word, Lord. I'm going to keep your word, Jesus. I'm going to honor you, Father, by keeping your word. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, regardless of what my father and mother did to me, what they didn't do, regardless of how a family member hurt me, it doesn't matter, Lord. I'm saved by your mercy, Lord. I'm going to let my light shine, Lord, no matter what they say, no matter what they steal, no matter what happens to me, Lord. No matter if my husband leaves me or my wife leaves me, doesn't matter, Lord. I'm yours forever. And I will keep your word, Lord, even when it hurts. We manifest the love of God when we keep the word of God. I'm going to say something I wasn't going to say. Or the treatment. Somebody said something to me. They didn't think about it. You're quiet. Either I'm boring. Or they won't have no chickens in here today. Your feathers aren't being rattled. Somebody said something to me in treatment the other day. They said, what'd your doctor say? You went to the doctor Friday. What'd they say, Homer? I said, well, they said this and that. They said, whoa. And they told me this. I think they thought twice about it after they said it. I didn't say nothing. I said, really, Homer? I said, yeah. They said, well, you know that verbatim, that's not good. That is your last option, Homer. That's your last option, Homer, and that's not good. Okay, I know, I understand what you're saying. They are real quiet. That's not good, Homer. All right. And she got quiet. I think she figured out she probably shouldn't have said what she said. So do I get mad at her? Or do I sit in my chair in treatment and worship Almighty God? And say, Lord Jesus, by your stripes, we were healed. See, the word of God has to be the mountain that we die on. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That is the love of God. When you're called a beloved, that means you've given your life to Christ and you're born of God. We have a debt that we can never repay, and Christ Jesus paid that debt through his blood to redeem us back to the Father, to Almighty God Jehovah. He said, in this, the love of God was manifested. It was manifested. It was seen. It was revealed. It wasn't talked about. It was lived out and seen in Christ. We lack nothing in Christ. Nothing. Nothing. I don't have anxiety in me. My soul is not cast down. I'm not lonely. I know who I am in him, in Christ. I don't need to go here or there to refresh myself. I don't need a vacation to refresh myself. Every morning at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I refresh myself in his presence. I don't get lonely. My mom is dead. My dad is dead. My sister's dead. And they say, I'm going to die. But that's okay. Because I'm not going to die. Every morning I get refreshed in the presence of my King. I say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I praise you. That gun should have killed me, Lord, years ago. But I'm alive today. The most wonderful wife in the world. Beautiful grandchildren. Beautiful daughter-in-laws. Oh, Lord, I'm not going home yet. My refreshing. I'm in a room all day by myself at times. He takes care of everything. Anxiety? Post-traumatic stress syndrome? Being told you're gonna die and it don't faze me? Whew. That's the God that I serve, man. Somebody blessed me and my wife the other day. I'm not going to say who. I took the blessing from them. I said to my wife, 11 or 12 years ago, we used to give the love offerings to people. I had a real good job. Now the tide has changed. And I cried. Because God does not forget his people if we're faithful. And I'm so on fire for Jesus Christ. I swear to you, I do not get burned out. I am not burned out. Why? Because I have eternal life living inside of me. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. He said, no man, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 or 9. No man has seen God at any time, the writer says. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. He said, no one has seen God. Listen to what he said. No one has seen God at any time. Jehovah, Yahweh. No one has seen him at any time. Listen to what he said. But if we love one another, the God that no one has seen dwells in us. If I love you like Christ, Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. So if I love you the way Christ loved you, then who has seen in my life? The God has no man seen. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. No man has seen God at any time, the writer says. If we love one another, God dwells in us. Well, if I love you and manifest the love of God to you, if I live like Christ, the God that no one's ever seen, guess who's seen when I love you like Christ? The unseen God is seen in our life. My first 17 years. Anybody got the time? Anybody? 11:25. Oh, gosh. The first 17 years of my Christian walk with Christ, I was just a Christian. I was not too sincere. The first 16, 17 years. Then when I went blind 12 years ago, my walk got a little bit more serious. I guess you would think so. So I got more serious about Christ. Then about 3 or 4 years ago, I got more serious with Christ. About a month or two ago, something began to happen inside of me. Well, I was crying out to God, Lord, in Christ, there abides in me a love that can never be hurt, Lord. I started saying this, Rex, to God, that I would be as they that love not their life till the death. That I would love Sarah like I do my little granddaughters. That I would love Marty like I do the twins. Oh, them twins. Can't wait to see Big Mama and Little Mama. You want to get me out of my prayer room? Let Little Mama and Big Mama come to the house. I'm out of there. I'll be back, Jesus. I gotta go see Big Mama. Even though she can't stand me unless I got food. But if anything's happening in my life right now, it's a love that I can't comprehend. A love for people. All people. He said, beloved, let us love. Agape, A-G-A-P-E. That's the God kind of love that loves regardless of its love back. For love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God. For the first 17 years, I was just born of God. But now, I'm born of God. And I know God in intimacy. The more and more I get up in the morning and worship God, I fall more and more in love with Him. And when I fall more and more in love with Him, I'll fall more and more in love with you. You want to love people? You want to love your wife and your husband more? Fall in love with God. There's a default, man. I said it last week and I'll say it again. This country is so split and divided. Democrat versus Republican. Oh, that's hogwash. We love. All. We love all. The love of God is this, in these closing words, I think. 1 John chapter 3 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he being the Christ, laid down his life. Listen to what the writer says. Not Homer, the writer. He says, hereby we perceive the love of God. Hereby the love of God is manifest. It's revealed. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, he being Jesus, as we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you don't lay down your life, you will be self-centered. And you'll think the Christian walk is about you. No, no, it's about him inside of you. If you get offended easy, it's because you're self-centered. It's not about you. It's about your reaction towards the world according to Christ in you. Well, they said this. So what? They haven't put you on a cross yet, have they? They haven't hit you in a scourging post, have they? Words hurt you and move you? Give me a break. Beloved, there's no attachment to the word love in the kingdom of God. There's no spiritual entitlement to it. The love of God is unconditional. You said it. You talked about me. You started rumors. God forbid you cheat on me. I hate you. Now, no, you don't. If you hate them, you hate God. You love God. You love people. If you don't love people, make no mistake, you don't love God. Time to forgive and let go. Beloved, let us agape one another. How? By keeping the commandments of God. Not just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the simple, the issues of your heart. You know, the malice, the gossip, the backbiting, the slander. As we spend time in our quiet time with Jesus, the Christ, and with the Father, all that is eradicated inside of us. Yes, I'll say it. Years ago, the Lord really corrected me in this area in my life. He just reminded me of this years ago. And I was so wrong as a Christian. I was so wrong. So wrong. I had one of my nieces that was gay. And I was so wrong. And I cry still. Because the way I handled her. And I know, I knew by my reaction that I was wrong. She had a girlfriend. I ain't gonna say who it was. They walked into my house years ago, 15 years ago. And I said, okay, she got to go. She got to go. And immediately when I said that, I was like downtrodden. Wow. I felt so bad. And I called one of my elders, Gary Carpenter. I don't know if he remembers or not. I said, Gary, I did something, Gary, I don't think it was right. But I have a niece that's gay. And she brought her girlfriend to our house, and I ran them both out. And Gary got real quiet. He said, when people go to your house, male and female, they're having sex without being married. Do you kick them out of your house? I said, oh, wow. I blew it, Lord. I found my niece. I said, I'm so sorry. You and your friend are welcome to my house. If you're just there sitting as friends, you're welcome. I said, I love you so much. She said to me, I know you do, Uncle. I know you love me. I said, I'm so sorry. So God has fixed me in that area. If I hate and I don't anymore, oh God, if I hate a gay person, I don't love God. If I hate them, I and you do not love God. How are we ever going to win the world over to Christ? Hating people. Now, we don't approve of lifestyles according to the Bible, but to hate them? That's not in our gospel. I used to really hate doctors. There have been over 70 million babies aborted in this country. Millions of gallons of blood. And I cry thinking about 70 million babies aborted. When I just had somebody in my family, they wanted a child so bad. They wanted their baby so bad. But something happened to their body. And here, babies are killed. Up to the 9th month, man, slaughtered. That breaks my heart. But even the doctor that commits the abortion, if he cries out to Jesus Christ, he'll be forgiven if he repents. The love of God is so changing me, man. I don't hate anybody. I don't have aught towards anybody. There's freedom in my heart. I told number 32, called him, hey man, I'm preaching Sunday. Come on, man. I said, I love you. He said, I love you too. And he's here today. To all my homeboys I used to store cocaine with on the streets, buy crack, I love them too. And I will not be quiet about my faith in Jesus Christ. the man who restored my marriage overnight. See, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 John chapter 4. When I laid down my life, Sarah, by the side to spend the day in prayer and worship and to hear my Bible and to fast, Homer dies. He dies to self, and Christ is glorified in him. Every day that I get up to pray, spend time with Christ, Homer dies. And the love of God is manifested in his life more and more. Beloved, those that are blood-bought saints of God, let us love agape, the God kind of love. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. My heart is in evangelism. My heart, I can preach, I can teach, but my heart is in evangelism. My heart is to lay down my life for the gospel's sake. To lay down my life so that Christ can be seen in my life. If you can't feel my words, I've failed as a preacher. I don't want you to hear my words. I want my words to prick your heart. If they don't, I have failed. When I lay down my life to keep his word, I'm showing you who God is. If I'm self-centered, I will never show you the love of God. Because the love of God isn't manifest when I show you my ways. The love of God is revealed when I show you his ways. So Homer must die to self. Christ, and this last closing for real. I knew Corey's going to say that. Christ was all God and all man. What he did on this earth, he did it in humanity. If he did it, the Son of Man, we can do it because his spirit is in us. Thank you, Lord. The last verse of 1 John chapter 5 is this. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Thank you, Lord. Meaning, whatever hinders you from your walk with Christ, get rid of it. Is it your job? Is it your children? Is it school? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Are they an idol in your life that's keeping you from your relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That, my friends, is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus said, if anybody come after me, Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. Jesus said, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. Oh, when people see us, do they see Homer? Or do they see God in us? If they're seeing Homer, that's not good. I said, Lord, in Christ, there's a love in me that can never be hurt, Lord. That I would abide in this love, Father, and be as they that love not their life till the death. Take me there, Father, by your grace. Take me there by your grace to a life of complete self-denial, Lord. Where even death does not scare me, Lord. Because I know that one day I'll see you forever and ever. So it's my love here on this earth to love and to tell people about your goodness, Father. To be a faithful witness of your grace and your love and the blood of Jesus Christ. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love unconditionally. I don't need you to love me for me to love you. I love you regardless. Even if you ignore me, I love you. Ignore me. Don't respond to my text messages. Don't call me back. I love you. I told my homeboys, they're going to think I'm being a punk. I said, man, back in the days, I would have died for you, man. You were my boy. All coking your systems, smoking bolo, drinking beer out of a 40. I would have died for them boys back in the days. Now, being a son of God, I would die for them even more. Did they come to the cross? Last closing, Corey, I promise. I was so blessed the other day at 5:21 in the morning. I was in prayer. I've been up since about 4 o'clock. My phone rings. I never answer the phone in the morning because usually that's the time I do my worship and I won't answer the phone. I text for about 5 minutes every morning. Certain people, I got 4 groups of people that I text. Sarah, Robert, Harry, etc. Then Nat, Carl, Alex. I text certain people. My buddy Amanda P, Belinda. I text for about 5 minutes every morning. I went to a... This is a real closing. I can feel them winding off of me already. I did a memorial service for a young man about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Me and the big dog, Pastor Bronk. And there was such a presence there at that memorial service that somebody came. I was at the gym eating. Somebody came and stood next to me. I hadn't heard from them in years. They said, hey, it's me. I said, okay. I don't recognize your face. You've gotten dark. And she talked. I said, oh, my God. And I said her nickname. She liked me saying her nickname. She said, no, only people that know me close call me that name. But I knew her close back then. So she said to me, my wife was there with me. Is the words that you shared. See, it wasn't the words that I shared. The words that I shared were nothing. They were simplistic. But the anointing that was there was different. And she said, what you said was incredible. He said, I love hearing you talk. I said, okay, where's she going with this? I was just listening. She said, I got a sister. I'm almost done, Harry. See, fingers can thaw out again. I got a sister in a nursing home. She's not doing good, Homer. I said, you want me to talk to her? Said, yeah, that's why I came here. I want you to talk to her. So I made her a promise that day. I said, I promise you. Not only will I talk to her, but I will go see her. Now, sister's in a bed. She can't walk. It's a rehab home. I said, look, it's not a, you know what kind of home it is. I said, okay, I promise you. I gave my word to her that day. So 2 days later, I picked up the phone and I called her. Hey, hello? She's very cognizant, very smart lady. Because my friend was trying to tell me that she's seen to think her sister was giving up on life. So I called her to make sure she was born again. I called her on the phone. Hey, you remember me? Homer? Said, yeah, it's me. He said, I was expecting you to call me. Said, my sister said you were going to call me. So I'm calling you. I'm going to tell you that I love you. Homer, thanks, man, for calling me. It means so much to me. She went on talking about God. I said, do you know Christ? Yeah, I know Christ, Homer. And I wanted to make sure she did. I heard her. I could tell she did. Long story short, we talked. She said, my sister told me about the words that you shared at the memorial service. Do you preach much, Homer? I said, yeah, I preach. Send me some of your preaching. So I sent her last Sunday's. Called me at 5:21 in the morning. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. In tears. I usually don't pick up the phone. But something told me. See who it is. And call them back. I called them back, and it was her. She was weeping, pouring, crying in tears. Weeping and crying. Talked to me for 20 minutes, crying. She said, I never felt God so strong before when you preached. She said other stuff that I can't mention. She said, Homer, do me a favor, she said to me. Do me a favor, please. Please. I said, whatever you need. Will you come to this place to preach Jesus to my friends in wheelchairs? I said, yeah. Please, Homer, please come. I can set it up. I know the director. I know the activities director. Will you come on a Friday or Sunday? Said, yeah, I'll go. So I had an invite to preach at a rehab home where people talked to her yesterday. She said one of her friends had just died. So I'm going to go. And I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And lay hands on Him the best that I can. With all the faith that I have. Lord, help my unbelief. She cried out, crying for 20 minutes. Please come, Homer. I haven't talked to Robert or Harry yet, but maybe one of you can go with me and play the keyboard for me there. I'm hearing a lot of compliments about our instrumental in our church, about the keyboard. A lot of compliments about Harriet and Robert on the keyboard. I'm going to go Friday or next Sunday to a place where they probably won't amen me, There won't be a love offering there. I'm going to go preach Jesus Christ to them at that rehab home. It might not be glorious to your normal preacher, but to me it's very glorious. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves agapes is born of God and knows God. He who does not love or keep the commandments of God does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. John said this, as he is in this world, what? So are we. The love of God is an unconditional love that loves regardless. That is the love of God. That is the love of God. That is the love of the kingdom. We love everybody. We love. The love of God is a lay down your life kind of love. A life that has no entitlements, no attachments, no excuses. A love that just loves because we've been dearly loved by Almighty God through the sacrificial Lamb, Jesus, the Christ of God. We are taught so well in this church. This church is different. We just do not believe the kingdom is word only. We believe the kingdom is power. Where the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. That's the gospel that we believe. The gospel of the kingdom. That's what we believe. That's what we contend for here. The fullness of the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sarah. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Every eye closed, please. Father, worship you, and I praise you. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who died to redeem us of our sins. If you're in here tonight, Christ Almighty God is calling you to a place of intimacy. He's calling you to a place of forgiveness, which is only found through the sacrificial Lamb, Jesus Christ. If you've never made a commitment to give your life to Christ, Christ is the Word of God. Christ is the express image of God. John said, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Because the Son is the Word of God. that's you today, right there where you're standing, sitting, wherever. Christ is calling you to a place of fellowship, to a place of eternal life. He changed me from one minute to the next. I fell so in love with my wife again. And I still love her oh so much. And he's still changing me and taking me from glory to glory. If that's you today, young man, young woman, old woman, whoever you are, Christ wants to forgive you of all your sin, wash you, and make you a new person. If that's you today, right there where you're standing at, with no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, Christ, the Son of God, is calling you to a place of repentance, to a place of forgiveness. Almighty God, prick the hearts, Lord, through the precious Holy Spirit. If that's you today, man or woman, what you feel in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit tugging at you. With no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you today, this evening, just lift up your hand where you're at. Just lift up your hand and we'll pray for you as a family. Don't be embarrassed, whoever you are. I don't know who's here and who's not here, but I give you the chance, male or female, if you've never accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is your day. So lift up your hand. Hallelujah. The word of God was sown today. So let's say this collectively as a body of Christ, together. If you meant, do you want to know Christ, say this with us together as a body, and Christ will come inside of you and change you. He'll give you his spirit, and you will not be the same person anymore. So that's you today. All of us, let's pray this together. If that's you, today's your day. Well, Christ comes and indwells you through person of the Holy Spirit and through the rebirth. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today, a sinner, Lord. Father, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Savior of the world. I receive you today, Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior. Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God incarnate in the flesh. That is Christianity, my friends. That is Christianity. That's how simple it is. Number 32. I love you, man. I love you. We made it from the streets, Kevin. We made it. The streets didn't take our life, Kevin. We made it. Father, I worship you. I praise you. And I thank you for your goodness and for forgiveness of sins through the Lamb of God. We worship you. We praise you, Father. Till we meet here tonight at 6 o'clock, Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for everyone here present, Father, that has made a commitment to serve you, Father, and to forgive us of all sin. Father, we worship you. We praise you and we thank you. And all the saints of God said loudly, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Love you much.